Hey nerds, WrestleMania is right around the corner, and me and the rest of Team Shot Glasses got together a couple weeks ago just to talk about the state of WWE and where we see WrestleMania going and our opinions on things that were happening that were recent at the time but are less recent now. Because this podcast is about 3 weeks late. So my apologies for the late podcast, and thank you all for listening. And without further ado, here is episode 3 of Shotcast Ramble Mania. It's just a matter of time.
To all 24 of our listeners, This is the Shot Glasses crew. We're going to be talking about WWE and the current state and the past state and where they're going in the future and all that stuff. So I am Nick, a.k.a. the Gnome Nerd.
Yeah,
and I am. At your encouragement.
Yeah.
And we're going to go around and introduce everybody. So let's start off over here.
Hey, this is Chris Roberts, CR on the site.
This is JD, Jonathan David.
Paul.
This is Bobby. I'm not on the site yet. I don't have a character in the comic. Thanks, guys.
We'll get to it.
You're waiting for both of us on that, Bobby.
You'll get there.
All right, so anybody who listened to our previous podcast is probably going to be familiar with me, John, and Chris, and Paul and Bob are joining us for the first time. So I want to start off just briefly with an article that we released onto the site several months ago about how to, quote-unquote, save the WWE from itself and so on and so forth. And I listed several steps that the company could take to better its product. And several months later now, we've seen that they have done two things on this list. And that's unify the World Championships and to sort of bolster the tag division a little bit. But what I've noticed, and I think everyone around the table has noticed, is that even though they're starting to take these steps, it hasn't really improved the product. It's kind of going in the drain still, and to the point where one of the most prominent superstars has decided that he just can't take it anymore. And, of course, we're talking about CM Punk. So let me open it up and get some opinions about what's going on with that.
Well, I didn't agree when you said they should unify, and I still don't agree unifying the titles, because now we have the WWE World title, and they haven't brought up the Intercontinental title, so there's no place to jump from mid-card to main event, like, with Cesaro becoming, like, fan favorite now. Even if he wins the Intercontinental title at some point, I don't see him making the progression to WWE World title.
It's almost if he gets the IC belt now, he's taking a step down.
Yeah.
How hot he's got.
Yeah, so there's no thing to put him in before he gets to the main event.
I get what you're saying, but I think that it was probably the best step to take because there were too many I really thought that the World Heavyweight Championship, the old WCW belt, was really such a mid-card title. It never felt to me on the same level as the WWE Championship. So it felt like we had these three mid-card titles that were sitting there doing nothing now. So we have the US title, the IC title, and now the World Heavyweight Championship. And it just felt like the mid-card was just milling about and not doing anything. And we still see a lot of that. We have two champions now, like Big E Langston for the IC and Dean Ambrose of the US. Dean Ambrose has defended that title, I think, twice during his entire reign.
He hasn't done it in the past 4 months?
Right. He's done it once against Mark Henry that I can remember. I think there was one other one, but they've been unremarkable.
And Mark Henry going for the US title? Come on.
Because again, he's been the World Heavyweight Champion. That's a mid-card championship. I think that Mark Henry is a world title contender, but he's never gotten the chance, and he's probably never going to, because he's never, you notice, he's competed for the WWE Championship one time, but it was against John Cena, which is always a foregone conclusion.
And that build-up was great, but it was great. Another topic.
I think had his storyline come about right a little bit earlier in the year before Daniel Bryan was getting hot and clearly going to win it at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
He might have gotten the title because of the reaction he got from that promo. Because
he got everybody with that fake retirement. Oh. It was the best. Came out in the suit, that peach-colored suit.
Still the best promo last year, I think.
Oh, completely.
Like, there was no way to top that. But again, you're talking about the World Heavyweight Championship as a mid-card title. So I think that doing the unification, it brings more guys up to that top-tier level.
But they haven't done that.
Cesaro's probably the best example.
Mm.
Because Cesaro probably would have been stuck with the World Heavyweight Championship if they decided to bring him up to that point at all.
And, I was going to say, that, yeah, like, right. like they've been using that, like with Ziggler, you know, Ziggler got it,
right.
and it's useless. They just give it to whoever they want, the fans want as the champion,
right,
that
exactly.
way they got something.
It's like you know, the WWE champion is, you know, the quote-unquote face of the company, and it's like, okay, well, the fans like this guy, so let's just, you know, just to placate him, just to, you know, get him to shut the hell up, let's just give him the World Heavyweight Championship. And I think Cesaro would have been stuck at that level, because if you see his first title reign, his U.S. title reign, they, like, we thought he was going to get buried, and actually he did to an extent after he won the U.S. title. And I think that it's better now, especially for somebody like him, or even for somebody like Jack Swagger, if he can keep the stuff backstage straight, on the straight and narrow, to get them up to that level, because now... You're right. Cesaro is not the IC champion of the U.S. title. He's now at that point where he's competing with the big dogs, and you know, it brings him to that point in a way that he probably wouldn't have before. Mm-hmm. Like, if the World Heavyweight title was still around, he probably would have been wrestling Sheamus and Christian for the rest of his career.
Yeah.
And not to disparage Christian, because I'm a big fan of his, and I always have been.
Christian's still around.
Wow.
He just came back.
That hurts.
Sorry, I didn't.
No. He's heel again, which is good for him. He's a good heel.
Yeah.
He just came back from an injury. Him and Sheamus were on.
And then he got a
blind injury. They're going to let him go for the WWE Championship that he deserves.
One more match?
He was, no.
Sorry.
Let's be real. He was in the Elimination Chamber, you know.
He was there because they had nobody else to fill the spot.
I was so happy he got into the chamber.
There was nobody else to fill the spot.
I swore up and down that Brock Lesnar was just going to come out like
beat the crap out of Christian.
I really thought they were going to I was like, why would you put Christian in this match? But I mean, clearly he still got it. So,
but I think that unifying the championships was a good idea, and I think that you know, that was step one on my list, and that leads into. Which is actually step three, which is returning the U.S. and Intercontinental titles to their former place of, you know, prestige.
I have an idea for that, but that's going to come later with the authority.
I have a lot of ideas as to how they could accomplish that, but, I mean, I think even when they unify the titles, and even if you look on WWE.com, they were doing interviews with a lot of other superstars, and they asked Big E and Dean Ambrose what that meant for them. And they both pretty much had the same answer, and it's like, well, that puts a bigger target on my back. It makes the title that I hold more important. And then both of them tossed the idea around of a title unification for the two of them. So, I mean, it could lead into something, but right now they've just done it and they're not doing anything with it. Right. You know, it's you know, another thing that I really want to get into in a minute is the booking problems and you know it looks like it's a really great time to be friends with Paul Levesque. You know what I mean?
When was it ever not a good time?
Seriously. I mean,
as long as you're friends with a McMahon,
it is
for your career.
The favoritism is so naked now; like, they don't even bother to try to, you know, disguise it with anything.
I almost feel like they're doing that on purpose. Like, they know that that's how we feel, and they're doing it on purpose now because it's part of that big overarching storyline, you know, with the authority. I know what you're gonna say, and I know it's very wishful thinking, because we've been burned on that before by everyone involved in this, but that's what it feels like to me. But yes, I would not be surprised if they were like, LOL, nope, we just wanted the New Age Outlaws to happen.
No, I think, I mean, that brings it to what I mentioned earlier. That brings it right back to, you know, Phil Brooks, a.k.a. CM Punk, and his disappearance from the roster. And that's, I think, probably the best evidence that we have that it's not a work. Because I thought of that, and I'm like, maybe they just really...
Unless it's disappearance, it's also a work.
Not this long.
They getting you there.
Not this long.
I don't know.
The last time he disappeared and it was a work, it was, what, 2 weeks?
Not even. But that was because it was so hot that there was no way that he could be off TV.
They could have... No, they should have ran
with it. Well, there was a lot wrong that they did with CM Punk back then. We can go into that in a minute. But we don't know CM Punk has still not come out and said, and I don't know if he ever will come out and say why he left, at least for a while. He's not whether it was because he's burned out just from injuries or pissed off, because whether you like him or not, a match against what he was originally allegedly supposed to have, a match with Triple H at WrestleMania.
Right.
That's a good place on the card for anybody.
Right.
Yeah.
CM Punk or not. I do agree that's not what I would want to see for him at WrestleMania.
Right.
But to walk out of the company just because of that, I mean, there was talk of him failing some sort of concussion test, or he passed it, but they didn't want him to wrestle.
Right. What I heard, because, I mean, of course, there's always going to be dirt sheets and rumors, and, I mean, I don't know how much of this is true, but the rumor that I have heard over and over again from other wrestling fans is that the night he actually walked out, because he walked out during Raw before his appearance, before his scheduled appearance, and they put on that match between Alberto Del Rio and Kofi Kingston just to fill the space.
Right. He was backstage that night.
Right. He was backstage, and he was supposed to come out and talk, and when he decided that he was going to leave, they had tried to convince him to come out and say that he was leaving because of his concussion. And that wasn't actually the case, because he was still medically clear. He was in the same spot that Daniel Bryan was in prior to the Rumble. He had the concussion. He had the concussion, and, just for you, those of you who was wondering what the hell that was just about, Jonathan was telling me to raise my voices. Apparently you can't hear me. Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me? John?
Yeah,
that's better.
John?
Yeah, no, that's better. Yeah.
Okay.
Tell us you got a pair.
All the way in the cheap seats. You got a bitch voice.
Right here. We got project.
All the way in the cheap seats. Can you hear me? All right. That was the rumor that he was asked to come out and make excuses for why he was walking out, and the concussion was going to be the excuse. But that wasn't the actual reason. From what I understand, he left because of burnout, because he wasn't happy with his place on the roster, and he wasn't happy with the place of several other people on the roster, notably Daniel Bryan, probably Kofi Kingston also, because he has a relationship with him.
Road wife.
and a couple of other people, because he's just really disenfranchised and he's really disappointed with the way they're handling the roster. And I know that we all know that Punk's got a mind that can, you know, run laps around the rest of the creative team.
Oh, completely.
And so I think that he's getting frustrated, and that's the reason why he left, from what I've heard. And I think everyone else.
But why? But yeah, consistent. But it's been like that for a while. So why? What was the straw that broke his back? Batista?
Probably. No, I've heard he actually was okay with Batista.
He's friends with Batista, so yeah. He wouldn't admit to that. But it probably is that. You know what I mean?
From what I heard, it was Batista, not on a personal level, but on a professional one.
Right,
He's very good friends with Batista, but he didn't appreciate a part-timer headlining Mania for the third year in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've had The Rock, not even The Rock. We had Dwayne Johnson.
Thank you.
We had Dwayne Johnson headline WrestleMania twice in a row, and he's a part-timer, not even a part-timer.
He just showed up there. And also, he's levels above Batista in stardom.
Right.
You know, Batista is wrong side of town status.
That movie was so bad. But, I mean, and Batista's another guy who really should never have had a world title belt.
Right.
A
lot of he was just the must
agree, but he was the huge guy in Evolution, and I thought that he fulfilled that role very well.
Well, Evolution was good at breeding future champions, like grooming them to be future champions.
That was the point.
Kind of halfway worked with Batista if he had any kind of personality outside of just being the big guy.
Yeah, but
when he was a heel, he...
How big is it?
I don't think that Batista was ever really effective except for when he first started to get pushed. Right before he was in Evolution, when Ric Flair was with his mouthpiece.
Batista. Which was great.
That was perfect.
But that's more on Ric Flair than Batista.
Right, but you didn't need Batista on the mic, and,
I thought Batista, his heel run right before he left.
Yeah, that was also good.
I thought that was great.
Well, when he came out in the wheelchair and quit.
You know, when he was telling John Cena that he only had fans because he kissed fat chicks and hugged babies. Kissed babies and hugged fat chicks. I thought that was great. Ring work never really got better, but his mic skills are certainly better than "you were supposed to be my friend."
I've heard him referred to as Botchtista several times, actually.
Botchtista. Boo-tista.
You know what? His mic skills never really impressed me, particularly when you put him against the three other guys that he was teaming with.
Oh.
Yeah. It's like they all talk circles around him. Almost every person he was in the ring with could talk circles around him. I mean, it was really bad, but I think that that, on a professional level, is probably what was the straw that broke the camel's back for Punk. And the continued burying of certain other people.
Mm-hmm. Not certain other people.
Well, I'd also argue that he was, after Mania for him, like, he had the Taker match.
Right.
He didn't really have much. Like, he had the feud with Shield, but, like, that never really went anywhere, and it was just, it was a feud for a feud's sake. There was no point.
Well, that was more for pushing the Shield than it was to, you know, than it was to do anything for him, like.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. He actually did have that good run with Paul Heyman and
Brock Lesnar. He had a great one with Chris Jericho.
Paul Heyman.
He had a really good run with Chris Jericho with that whole thing. But see, that whole, the thing about the Punk Heyman feud was that
I loved you!
Was that the wrestling was unnecessary.
Yeah. They could have just talked all the time. Like, I would have enjoyed
every
second.
There was no point to those matches. I think that those were, I mean, I did not like CM Punk versus Brock Lesnar.
Well, it was, I thought CM Punk versus Brock Lesnar was good. It was the 3 months of CM Punk versus
beating the crap out of Paul Ryback Heyman, and Curtis
Paul,
Axel.
Paul Heyman and Curtis Axel and Ryback,
Goldberg Jr.
They went so wrong with him. He was so out the gate. He was great.
I love Skip Sheffield.
I never liked his ring work, but I won't deny that he was hot.
Yeah.
For a while, he just never got a clean win, even when he was a face.
Right.
Because
he was that. It was that monster status. Either he was steamrolling over you, or you know, or he was getting DQ'd.
Well,
or something like
yeah,
that.
Punk was DQing him every match, and then all of a sudden he just went heel. He never got a cunt. He had that great match with Hell No and Shield.
Yeah,
right. That he TLC did. Match. Yeah, he did. But his
derailment was also Cena's fault. So
I think it was also his fault. He was very sloppy. He hurt a lot of people.
Yeah.
I
mean, that's excusable as long as you're on your knees in front of the right person.
Yeah.
Certain set of twins I could point to.
Yeah. Well, also that.
But getting back on track. CM Punk. I think that those are the reasons that he left, and now that ties in what we've been saying all along is that the booking decisions are getting really, really questionable to a stunning degree.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's too terrible to be a work. It doesn't have the same style. It really doesn't. Like, if you look back at the corporation storyline, like, it was Vince putting a lot of his cronies in, you know.
Yeah.
But there was, you know, pizzazz, you know what I mean? Like, there was that style that only Vince could bring to it.
Right.
And, you know, you don't have that now. It's really just, you know, Paul Levesque staffing.
Triple H shouldn't try to be Vince. He should be Triple H, the cerebral assassin.
He should be Triple H, but that's the problem. He's trying too hard to be Vince, and it's just not working.
I think the problem with the authority lies in the fact, I mean, clearly now, leading up to Mania, they're certainly being heels more.
Yeah.
But for the longest time, you know, they're fucking over Daniel Bryan and CM Punk. Then they come out and be faces other parts of the
night.
What?
Right. What happened, guys? I don't understand.
They're still doing that, because that little mini feud, the little tiff they have with Randy Orton was really like.
That was stupid.
I don't think people knew how to react because it's like you're screwing over every other superstar that we like, but now you're getting in Randy's face all of a sudden. So it's like, do we applaud you? Do we not?
Randy now?
Right, we applaud Randy. It's like, so Triple H is coming out and screwing everybody over, you know, at the beginning of the night, and then Stephanie comes out and puts Randy in his place 20 minutes later, and it's like, what's happening?
Yeah, and now.
They weren't unified.
This is much, even less of a problem. Now, like, last week, with NXT Arrival, Triple H comes out as a face. I don't know if we're considering NXT storyline now. I mean, it is his baby, so I understand why he did that. But at this point, it's sort of like, be a heel.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's funny, because before we started recording, actually, Paul and I were having a conversation about that, and I was saying that I really thought that they should acknowledge NXT more during the regular shows. Because I was talking about the fact that, like, when Big E Langston first came on, he was the NXT World Champion, but you never heard any mention of it. You never saw him with the title belt. Cesaro has had some incredible matches with Sami Zayn and others in NXT going back there, and it's never mentioned, not once. And, you know, the disconnect is really weird because in NXT, they acknowledge the main roster.
Yeah.
Right? They always talk about it. They talk about who the next guy to go up is going to be. You know, you hear that stuff, but then you have this disconnect storyline-wise where you have Triple H coming out as a face on NXT, but then they have the SmackDown recording or Raw Live.
Yeah.
NXT exists in its own separate little bubble. Like, we know people come from NXT to go to Raw, but whatever happens on NXT stays on NXT.
Well, I think now that it's on the network, it's being pushed more. It's not that developmental show that's on Hulu anymore. It's a WWE production now.
Oh, right. So now, but before.
I think they're, like, with Emma, they've been acknowledging that she's on NXT.
They have been talking about her a lot with her.
They don't acknowledge anything she does. They're just like, oh, she's on NXT and she does that dance. But they haven't.
They acknowledged she had a match. She had a title match on Arrival. And then on Raw this week, they did the replay from
her. Right. Okay. And then they talked about, I think it was Mark Cole who mentioned that she had a previous rivalry with Summer Rae.
Yeah, yeah.
During their NXT run. So, yeah. I mean, there is some, but
yeah, more mention of NXT.
But right. I also, I do understand why there is that disconnect, because gimmicks change. Like, Seth Rollins was the NXT champion when Shield was on first debut. Had they, I'm sure, I don't remember, but I'm pretty sure the Shield wasn't a gimmick in NXT, so
it wasn't.
So if you want to, like, now with NXT being pushed more, they have to be more with the gimmicks. They have to be more set in stone than they are.
Right. I mean, I don't know. I think that there should be some acknowledgement. I don't think the disconnect is really a great idea, particularly since the network is now on, and people can want to watch NXT whenever they want without having to get a Hulu subscription. You know, there has to be more of a sort of a unified front on that. I'm not saying that they should be defending the NXT World title on SmackDown or Raw, but I'm just saying that if the NXT champion is on the main roster, let him come out with the belt. Let it be acknowledged, you know.
But then I think is going to happen now.
People who don't watch NXT were like, what belt is that? I don't understand.
I think any WWE fan knows what NXT is now because they had the show on Sci-Fi, which is no longer running.
And if they don't know, then wouldn't that be like a plug for it?
Yeah, it's good.
From like, what's that belt? Right. Check this out.
I have a feeling
it can't hurt them.
Yeah.
I have a feeling we won't see the NXT champions on Raw or SmackDown until after they're not champion anymore and they're getting pulled up. I do feel like, I think it would be a great way, a pre-show would be an NXT match either for Raw or SmackDown or even during a pay-per-view.
Right. I think that's a great idea, and I think even if they had one NXT match per pay-per-view, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like
that'd
they
be
did.
Cool.
What they did when ECW was the
third
show. Right, exactly. So it's like, you know, you make sure to have that, you know, make sure to have the NXT
with the belts unified now. Is there still a brand separation?
No, the brand separation stopped.
I mean, it stopped a long time ago, but they still kind of, now it's like, SmackDown champion.
There's no such thing as this guy only wrestles on
SmackDown.
There's
no brand separation.
I mean, it stopped a year ago, 2 years ago, maybe.
What's really happening now is that SmackDown is actually less necessary now that the brand extension is over. Because what I've noticed, because I don't watch SmackDown. Not in the slightest.
Right.
I don't. I got better things to do on a Friday night. Sorry. But what I've noticed is that you can watch just Raw, and you don't lose any of the narrative thread. You're not really missing very much match-wise.
Yeah, whatever matches was on SmackDown, it's just going to happen on Raw again.
It's just going to happen on Raw again, right. So it's not like you're really missing anything. So there's no brand separation, and I think that was an idea whose time had already come to expire. Like, yeah. I think that they had a good run with that for a little bit, and I think that it was getting tedious, and it wasn't really getting anywhere.
I don't think they ever had a good run with it.
SmackDown used to be good sometimes.
The brand separation itself, the point of that was because of TV contracts.
Yeah.
Raw was on USA.
Right.
Or
and then
Spike.
And then TNA.
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 Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
But SmackDown was either on UPN or CW. Now it's on Sci-Fi. But before it was on Sci-Fi, NBC owns USA.
Right.
And other companies own the other networks. Mm-hmm. So they don't want people from an NBC show cross-promoting Raw or SmackDown. So if you're on SmackDown and Raw, that was it. you couldn't appear on another show.
Right.
You'd only meet up with them on pay-per-views, but even at that time, they were doing brand pay-per-views.
Right. Yeah. But
But now that when SmackDown came to Sci-Fi, they're all owned by NBC, so they can cross-promote as much as they want. They encourage that.
Yeah.
Well, I think also the other, because if you listen to them talk about it, if you listen to Vince and Shane and Hunter and all these other, and the other people in the upper echelons talk about it, part of the idea was also that after the acquisition of WCW, there was no real competition, and so that was sort of. You know,
them trying to manufacture competition. Yeah. And manufacture for a while, attention.
But that's what I'm saying is that for a good while they had that. Mm-hmm. Like people who watched SmackDown didn't watch Raw for the longest time. I think toward the end of the Evolution run, I'm gonna be perfectly honest, I got so tired of seeing Triple H's face that I stopped watching Raw.
How can you get tired of Triple H?
I was a SmackDown only viewer for several months. I did not watch Raw at all.
I think it definitely had its ups and downs. Like. I think the Bragging Rights pay-per-view where they would have Team Raw versus Team
Smackdown. Well, I hated Bragging Rights because it's like, give me back Survivor Series for crying out loud. What the f***?
But they haven't given you back Survivor Series anyway, so.
I just thought it was a stupid name for a pay-per-view. I thought that, I mean, I get, like, Survivor Series. I thought that Survivor Series having the Raw, always having the Raw versus SmackDown match is a great idea.
Yeah.
But turning it into Bragging Rights didn't make any sense, particularly since Bragging Rights came out the last year of the brand extension, and now the brand extension is no more, so what the hell is the point?
Well,
there's no more Bragging
Rights. They don't do Bragging Rights.
Yeah.
So it's Survivor Series again?
It's been Survivor Series for like...
Let's bring back King of the Ring.
You know what, they changed...
Let's bring back King of the Ring, let's bring back Survivor Series.
They changed the names of these things so damn often, like, give me back No Way Out, I'm sorry, I am so tired of hearing Elimination Chamber! Mofo, it's a No Way Out. It's No Way Out, all right? I want my shit back. I want my mercy back.
Let's start calling them all In Your House again. Let's bring that back.
Let's bring that in your house.
In your house. 297.
Oh, jeez. But no, I think that, you know, getting back to what we were saying, I think NXT should be acknowledged more. That really shouldn't be disconnecting storylines and all that stuff. But, you know, I think that now, going back to what we were saying, the booking is just really terrible, and I think that you have this... I really don't think this is a work. I don't think it really could be. It seems too incompetent on their part. It really does. Yeah. It doesn't seem the way that it seemed during the corporation days when it was measured. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was like the hate was manufactured, right? Yes. You hated somebody in the corporation, it was because they made you hate that bastard. You love to hate him. But now it's like when I see Triple H on my screen, my impulse is to change the channel. And frequently I do.
Well, also, back in that day, Austin always got, for every shitty thing they did to Austin,
he would come back.
Yeah, yeah, he would get something. How often does Daniel Bryan actually get to,
I think once?
Triple H once, where he gives him a knee, but he still gets three finishers by the end of the night.
Right. Yeah, but, Daniel Bryan's a pretty peculiar case, I think, because I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like the Yes movement.
I don't think I've ever seen it before.
I have never, you know, even through the Attitude Era and all this stuff, I have never really seen, you know, anything quite like everyone standing up and shouting that single word over and over and over again. And like the Chicago episode last week, just completely drowning out anybody aside from Daniel Bryan who tried to speak.
Yeah. You know? Oh, they blew the shit out of Stephanie.
Let's take a quick break and we'll talk about the Chicago thing.
So yeah, definitely. When we come back, definitely going to hit that Chicago episode because that's important.
Yeah.
Commercial ad here.
This podcast has been brought to you by
Gentleman Jack Rare Tennessee Whiskey. When you want to get drunk and you're in Tennessee, drink Gentleman Jack.
When you really want to get drunk anywhere, drink Gentleman Jack.